And now a scene from last week's It's a Show.
My boot is still missing.
God damn.
Play Love.
We'll this is not good. If this doesn't work, I can't play the song. I'm freaking out here. You have no idea. I was trying to update the iTunes.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah, things got a little hairy there. Welcome to episode lucky number 13 of It's a Show, the podcast sweeping the globe. We have 50 likes and stalled on Facebook. If you could spread the word, that would be greatly appreciated. We'd like to hit 100. If we do, we'll do something special.
So there's our next goal.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down because we always forget to write things down.
We'll figure out what our special thing is in moments on the program, I'm sure. Now, back to your meltdown from last week with the laptop. It just let you down. It was uncalled for. Not your meltdown, but the laptop.
I think my meltdown was appropriate for the situation given.
Absolutely. And so we have deactivated that one and got a new one. We're not going to tell you how or where we came up with the funds, but I'm going to tell you a lot of cans and bottles were involved.
That's a lot of beer was drank.
So this beautiful beauty is humming along like an Edsel. It's awesome. And now the old one is going to be taken care of. Last week on It's a Show, we suggested that maybe we should pound it. Just give it a good beat down. So we've activated our special operative. This is intern Scooby. Scoob for short.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now.
Scoob. Scoob, come over here. I know you don't like the name, but you're going to live with it, okay? You got this? And don't talk to me about copyright infringement. Who cares? Is that cartoon even on anymore? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. It's 2013, 14.
Casey Kasem died, didn't he?
I have no idea who that is. Another old reference for the whiteboard.
We're getting the clip. Put it in there. Casey Kasem.
Aloha.
Now that's what I call an island retreat.
We're up to our long distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio. And here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This a last goddamn time, I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is, that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
Obviously, you're right, Casey. You've got a point there. Okay, so here's the thing. We want you on remote location in our parking lot outside the It's a Show World
Bundle HQ. Up. It's a little nippy out there.
Yeah, it's a little sharp out there. I brought this hammer. Here you go. This hammer is a Saskatchewan Rough Riders limited edition souvenir hammer.
You would. Why do you got to do this to me?
It's going to be used for a good purpose to smash the crap out of your old laptop. I think this could be the podcast that helps us turn the corner and gets us some ratings and some listeners, because smashing shit is just good stuff.
People love the smash.
It's good radio.
Isn't that a TV show? Smash? Was a TV show. I think it got canceled. So anyways, please, smash her up.
Please tell me you've heard of MASH.
I've heard of MASH.
Okay.
Second.
And there he goes. Dressed up like the Abominable Snowman.
Yes.
Okay. It's minus 100.
So while we wait for him to get down the stairs, we're on the 62nd floor. It shouldn't take too long, and we're going to smash a laptop in a bit. On second thought, I want to call him back.
Scoob! Come back for a second!
What do you need, Greg?
That's Mr. Sir to you. I just wanted to ask Sparky, last week you wanted to know about the Xbox One. How cool is it?
Oh, yeah, I did. I forgot about that.
Is it superior to the PS whatever?
And I'll tell you why. Because I think I'm in the market. If I'm going to make this investment, I want to make sure I'm making the right one, a.k.a. the cool choice. Xbox or the PS whatever is out now.
Well, here's the thing. It really depends on what you preference. And if you don't have a preference, then...
Which I don't.
I'm just going to say get the Xbox. It's a lot of fun.
Sold.
I have bias, though. Customer loyalty, you know, stuff like that.
I can appreciate that.
They're basically the same thing.
What are some of the advantages? What can he do with it besides play a game on there? You can chat with your friends.
I have no friends, so there was chatting with friends.
You can chat with Scooby.
Scooby. Well, the one thing that I really like about the Xbox that the PS4 does not have is the Kinect.
Oh, that's you can move around, jump up and down, and it'll see you.
Apparently, it spies on you all the time as well.
Ooh.
That weirds me out now.
I like torturing whoever's looking at me.
Just so you know, this zone is a pants-free zone, so...
Yeah. If anybody's going to spy on me through a Kinect, they're going to have a hell of a time doing it because it's going to be awful. I'm sorry. I might want to bandage up your eyes.
I like this. I like the Xbox One.
Bandage my ears.
Sold. And what's the top two games?
I'm looking forward to Titanfall coming out on March 11th, I believe.
And is it true or false that Grand Theft Auto, the latest, has not come available to this unit yet?
Not available on next gen yet, but it's coming.
It's coming. See, that's the one I'm after. I want to play the hype that is the Grand Theft Auto 5 because I heard it's amazing and I love racing-ish and killing people while racing.
Don't we all?
This sounds like a good segment for knowing me, knowing you.
I'm nerding out because I have a Wii, which, by the way, if you're listening and it's 2014 and you're thinking about a Wii, do not even go down that road. That is so 3-4 years ago.
We use. It happened. It's there.
For Netflix. Is that okay?
Well, Netflix is fine, but don't get it specifically for Netflix. Or
I don't like the remote because it vibrates. It weirds me out.
It's all right, but I really need a new game system, and I think the Xbox, I'm a lot of votes for the Xbox One, so appreciate the feedback.
Another thing we need your opinion on, former High School Musical star Zac Efron, the latest to confirm he is among a handful of young actors being considered by Disney for the latest reboot of the Star Wars franchise. The news comes just a couple of weeks after director J.J. Abrams confirmed that Breaking Bad star Jesse Plemons, who played Todd Elquist, is also on the list of possibilities. Star Wars Episode V1-1, the first of three new installments planned, is expected to hit cinema screens December 2015. So what do you make of this whole Zac Efron situation? Because I know you're a huge Star Wars.
The ladies love him.
Scooby, sit down.
Sexual appeal.
First of all, someone doesn't know Roman numerals. Second of all, Jesse Plemons, not my favorite character on Breaking Bad, but I'll deal with it. Third of all, I would be over the moon if Zac Efron ever got any role in Star Wars ever.
Why? No, he's a Glee fan.
Over the moon? So
who's Glee? What?
A High School Musical fan. Whatever, same thing.
Man, we're all in this together.
Seriously? You like Zac Efron?
Absolutely.
All right.
He's talented. He was in that movie that I really like, Hairspray. He was really good in Hairspray. You've seen
I have not seen the Hairspray.
That is a family fun movie.
He totally has. He's lying.
I have not. It's been on. It's in the house. We have the DVD. I've never seen it.
John Travolta in
I
the
saw
women's?
John Travolta in one scene dressed as a Vlad Bomb, Gladys Vlad Bomb, or
you
whatever.
You got John Travolta, you've got What's Her Face, and you got the other guy. It's a cast of characters. It's a great cast.
Okay, so if we're doing a showdown between musicals, Mamma Mia versus Hairspray.
Oh, that is tough.
High School Musical.
I really wonder about that kid.
Okay, bye.
Scoop, get out to the parking lot now. I'm serious. Stop screwing around.
Don't slam the door. I'll get evicted.
A lot to accomplish on this episode.
I'll get evicted if you slam the door.
Bye-bye. Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl.
I don't understand. Things were going so great. What happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me.
When you're hot, you're hot.
You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
Sparky, love life, love life, love life. Update, update,
update, update.
What's new this week? I'm dying to know.
All right, so let's cover the bases. We are currently using three services available to everyone everywhere on the internet. We've got Match.com, we've got POF, aka Plenty of Fish, and we've got the Tinder app that we discussed a couple episodes
back. Yeah, the Tinder app sounded like it had promise. Is that working out?
Well, I'll tell you what. Nothing on Match, nothing on POF, but the Tinder...
is heating up.
I got a mutual match.
There's a spark on Tinder.
I think it was last week that this match got matched.
All right. So
meaning I said yes, she said yes, therefore
now you can communicate.
We can communicate. So we were chatting.
You're direct messaging.
Yeah, that's right. We've been chatting.
So what was your opener? What was your icebreaker? I'm a podcast superstar. Maybe check me out.
I have mentioned the podcast because
I want to spread the word.
Told her that I'm busy all the time.
The only thing more important than sparking getting a woman is us getting likes on Facebook and getting more people on listening to this thing.
Apparently so. She's from a village smaller but nearby. So that's nice. She looks very nice.
Really?
Very
can
cute.
I see?
Yes,
can,
yes you can.
But I'll be the judge of that.
I opened with "It's a Christmas miracle," meaning you never know who's real in this thing. You don't know if it's going to be a robot, if it's spam, if this person is
okay.
Sketch City.
Don't they have some kind of like security so they can avoid the bots on Tinder?
Well, I've had bots, and let me tell you, there is ways to
erotic bots. Yes, you've had over there.
So
as we discussed. Yeah.
And then we chatted, I don't know, not for very long through the app over the course of 2 days. And she gave me her number. So we've been texting off and on now.
Okay.
So there's
progress. Wow, that's exciting.
She's going to school to be a nurse.
Oh, wow.
I find these nurse types quite often.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Because they have shift work and then they can get stuff done around the house when they're not working, right?
Yeah, so it's promising. It's she's fun to chat with, and I've been having a neck situation, so I would text her, be like, if I were to have this soreness in this quadrant of my body, what does that mean? Hoping to get free advice, right?
Which quadrant was this though?
It was my neck.
Okay, good God.
She's like, you need this and this and this. I was like, thank you, future healthcare provider.
So are we talking about a frequency of daily with the messaging, or has it been?
It started off a lot of messages. And then, you know, over time, I just get lazy and tired of texting.
Don't get lazy, man. But you got it on the... Have you ever fished? You get it on the hook, and then you got to start playing with it, reeling it.
I've hooked for 3-4 days. I think I've hooked.
What if she listens to this?
She doesn't know.
I don't know if you sound sincere.
Like everyone else in the world, she doesn't know how to find it. But you can find us on Stitcher and the iTunes app.
That's probably the most progressive love life update we've had since we started this fiasco.
Well, it's the most I've had in almost a long, long time.
All right. Well, this is something to look forward to when you do get the girl, okay? This is things she does when you're not home.
Oh, boy.
When you're out of the house, your partner may binge on weird behaviors that she's afraid might turn you off. Here are a few things she might be up to right now. She watches your together TV shows without you. See, and I don't know. Would that burn you?
As long as she doesn't spoil it and as long as she doesn't delete it off the program. You know what I mean? If it's recorded, don't delete it. Let me watch it later.
In a recent Harris Interactive poll, 57% of women say they'd be willing to commit Netflix infidelity. Now, you can't really get away with that crime because it shows up.
Yeah. And then you'd be like, hey, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to watch this together.
Because my son watched the dirty movie on Netflix and then he tried to blame it on me. And I know exactly because I, you know, had I have Netflix.
See, the thing is, there's only 75 recently watched titles on Netflix. So if you just watch 75 random things, they won't know what you watched. It's easy. That's a quick tip there.
Scooby, get out of here. You're supposed to be outside in the parking lot. She watches some freaky documentary like My 600-Pound Life or Hoarders, which she'd feel self-conscious about doing when you're around. I don't care what you watch.
Yeah.
Whatever, as long as it's like...
If I'm not interested, do I have to watch, though?
No.
Can I leave?
Like, those Hoarders ones are horrific, the worst. Man. She checks herself out in the mirror naked.
Yeah.
Women classic. Suck in, check out their butt, and look at their pores. They do poses in the mirror to see which is their good side.
I can see why they keep the pores thing for when you're gone, because that can't be pretty. That's up close and personal.
Secret to a long-term relationship, separate bathrooms. That's key.
I think that would save everyone's sanity.
She dances around the house also naked. She might be practicing her moves for you or just playing out her childhood fantasy of being a pop star. Like, I guess that would be Miley Cyrus if she's nude dancing around. She stuffs her face. If she eats like a bird around you, she's probably raiding the fridge while you're away. Many women don't feel the freedom to eat everything they want in front of a guy.
I can see
many guys don't feel the freedom to eat in front of a girl either.
Well, especially if you're fishing for the girl, right? If you're hooking and we go out to dinner, I'm going to not get the messy dish because I'll slop or just not look nice eating.
Yeah. And don't get the wrong impression when he says hooking. That's a totally... All right. Oh, I came across this thing. You might like this. This is called Animals Responsible for Killing the Most Humans.
What?
This is going to be good. Can you guess which beasts have reduced the human population most?
Bears.
Okay, bears. Are bears even on this list?
Martha Stewart.
Dolphins. Get out of here. What did we say about you? Number 10, domestic dogs. When provoked, they can be as lethal as any wild animal. It's important to note that the most aggressive cats caused by dogs result from human misconduct. The most aggressive, acts, not cats. The most aggressive acts caused by dogs result from human misconduct. Do you know what I read yesterday? Sochi, Russia.
Yes.
Went on a massive dog kill because they had stray dogs everywhere in the street, and they don't know. No one knows where they put them or what they did with them. That place, the more I read about what's going on in Russia, the more fearful I am for the families of the athletes and the athletes themselves going over there. It's just a zoo. And the journalists and everything, they got no running water in the hotel. The hotel, only three of the five hotels on the mountain, on the bottom of the mountain where all those sports are, the skeleton, the illusion, all that, are done. And then the ones that are done, there's pictures on the internet. I sent you a link.
Yes.
There's like the curtain rods are falling off and the walls are falling in, and it's crazy. And
yeah. The Olympics are literally on their doorstep and they're still putting final touches on, like, shouldn't you be ready? And like, this is, I'd be very surprised if they ever got the chance to host the games again.
Number 9, Cape Buffalo. What the hell does that even mean? They're responsible for 200 deaths per year. Elephants, large and in charge. They're responsible for an estimated death toll of 500 people annually. That must be in Africa or something.
Must be when they run wild.
Or to Calgary.
Because Lucy, you know Lucy in Edmonton. She ain't doing nothing. She's still up there.
What are your thoughts on Lucy in the Edmonton compound? Because when I go see that, I figure, and I know she's old and this is like an old dog, likes to lay down and stuff, but she doesn't have a lot of room to move in there.
The thing,
it's not, I don't know.
Can they move an old elephant like that?
They move all over the plains, like, or whatever it's called. But,
okay, well, she's not gonna stroll down the QE2. Like, is she gonna be able to get on a plane, train, and go to wherever she goes?
Alberta. How much land is in Alberta? Can you give the goddamn elephant a little room?
So you're saying buy a little plot of land outside the city and let her just chill.
Well, chillax. Even in the thing, like, rearrange the zoo compound so she can have some more room.
I haven't been there in years, but
you're going to give Bob Barker a heart attack, for God's sake. Crocodiles, huge and extremely dangerous. They become deadly stealth machines while in the water.
Yeah.
Deadly stealth machines. It's reported that up to 2,500 people die by crocodile attack every year. That would be my worst nightmare. Scare the shit out of me.
Well, especially if they come out of nowhere, which I think 9 times out of 10 they do.
Yeah, just...
And they're fast.
This one is scary too. These things, like, you think they're okay and docile, but they're not.
Dolphins?
Hippopotamus.
Whoa.
Considered Africa's most dangerous animal, a docile-looking hippo can be vicious when provoked. Around 2,900 people are killed every year by hippos. I wonder if there's no moose on this list. I wonder how many people moose kill.
Like, are hippos fast moving? I've seen a hippo at the zoo, and man, they look like slow molasses.
I saw one on a cartoon with a tutu that was ballet dancing and looked pretty light in its feet.
I mean, they've got a big mouth. They've got teeth.
Scorpions at number 5, only 25 of the 2,000 odd species of scorpions have poison dangerous enough to kill humans. Nevertheless, as many as 5,000 people are killed by scorpions annually. Scorpions sounds scary. I don't like
scorpions, no.
Snakes?
No.
Number 4, snakes.
No.
50,000 people on average die around the world every year from snake bites.
Here's the thing about snakes. Not only can they bite you, but they can go around your neck.
Yeah, remember that story on the East Coast when that kid, those kids? That was bizarre. Tsetse flies. Responsible for spreading the African sleeping sickness, which affects as many as 500,000 people annually, 80% of whom eventually die. And I bet you that's a slow, nice, painful death, too.
As long as it's slow and nice.
Mosquitoes sliding in at number 2 on our survey.
Oh, boy.
These carriers of fatal diseases such as malaria and dengue. I don't want dengue.
God bless you.
Kill between 660,000 to 1 million people every year. That's pretty. And number 1, other humans.
There's a shock.
2.2 billion people have died as a result of wars. 2.2 billion. Let's check in with Scooby. Oh, mother.
Hello?
Scooby, are you in the parking lot?
Correct.
All right. This is it. Show no mercy. What do you have for a weapon of choice?
It's a hammer.
Oh, yeah, right. I gave it to you. All right.
Very descriptive.
You didn't give me much choice.
On our mark, smash the smithereens out of that laptop.
Rest in peace, Lappy.
Three, two. No, I'll say three and you say two. Three,
two,
one.
Bingo.
That did it.
Exerted a lot of effort. That was freeing. That felt good. I felt good about that. Man. Well,
a lot of memories on that laptop. I remember when I bought it on my way back to Drumheller from
S. This is no time to get sentimental. You're supposed to release.
That's very sad.
It's supposed to be a release.
All my memories were lost unexpectedly.
You know, you're not angry enough. For your age, you should be far more angry.
Like
last
said.
Week. Last week, I find the best entertainment value comes out of you when you are angry.
But now I have a... Oh. And he hung up. Now I have a new laptop, so I'm less angry.
All right. It's a beautiful one, too.
I know. It smells lovely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we promised something and we followed through. This is the It's a Show podcast of love. And still ahead in the second half, part two of What the Hell Is This Song About with Chris Sutherland. Originally, we analyzed Come Together by the Beatles All Together.
That's right.
And then Chris came up with a selection, courtesy of Cheap Trick, and we're going to break that sucker down next.
I got to tell you, we've got a lot of retweets on our Twitter from the last episode Come Together, and I know Ken commented on Facebook, said he cannot wait for part two. A few others also mentioned that they just loved this concept of us breaking down a song, because really, what do these songs mean? Or
there's
what?
A million from the Rolling Stones that I want to get to, and like country songs don't lend themselves because they're pretty self-explanatory. It's the pop and rock ones that are weird, and probably some world music ones too that we're not going to touch either.
You know that song that Bjork sang at one of the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, like, I don't know, in the 2000s, another one on the list that I put on.
I can't even spell Bork, let alone know a song
it's
that
like
he's ever
B-Y-O,
done.
It's like B-Y-O, it's a she.
B-J-R-K.
I've been watching a lot of comedians in cars getting coffee, and in one of the episodes, Jerry Seinfeld, I forget who he's talking to, but he's like, what's that song, Benny and the Jets by Elton John?
Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Yeah, Benny and the Jets.
That's another one on the list.
That's a crazy song. That's going to be one of the next ones. Now, the whole gag with What the Hell Is This Song About is our musicologist guest, in this case, Chris Sutherland, who is Kim Mitchell's drummer, has to give up a contact for his employer, Kim Mitchell, or somebody else in the music business that's an insider, so that we can keep this whole concept going. So that's exciting. And Chris heard the post-produced version of What the Hell Is This Song About, phase one, loved it. And he said, Kim loves the idea, and I'm going to send him this tape so he can hear what's going on. So that's exciting, right?
Love it.
Love it. Okay.
Oh, someone's at the door. Come on in.
Scoob.
Oh, isn't the laptop killer.
Laptop killer. Maybe we should call him LK.
Laptop killer?
Scooby LK. LK Scoob. Good job. High five on that action. Or do you want a fist pump because it's flu season? Here, let's just...
I don't want to talk about it. It's very sensitive. I'm still a little sad. A lot of good videos on there.
I'll take your mind off of it with this from the It's a Show statistics department. Canadians have more sex outdoors than Americans.
That's funny.
We win.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's funny because in the summertime, when I go to the local drinking establishment, I have to walk through walk past a wooded area.
Yeah.
And I've made comments before. And then we had a debate off of that comment that I made that people probably do things in the trees
in the summertime.
And then obviously you don't want to do it now. It's minus 30. And then someone I was
talking
with.
Friction does keep you warm though.
Someone I was talking with was like, you would do it in the woods. I was like, if the mood should strike and no one is around.
That deserves a bell. Scoob heard last week's show and he said, enough with the bell. I can't handle the bell. The topics, and it represents the youth movement.
Yeah, he knows what he likes and what.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay.
I liked it too.
Speaking of the youth movement, what are you guys talking about in the woods there? I don't understand.
You'll experience it when you're 30.
No, go back to the closet or wherever you were.
So yeah, I mean, we've got beautiful outdoors. So okay. I'm not surprised there.
A beautiful man turned 80 years of age this week.
Oh, happy birthday,
Don Cherry. From Hockey Night in Canada, the man, the legend, the guy is unbelievable. He is so outspoken, so opinionated. Some people think he's just a dumbass. Yeah. Some people think he's, you know, crazy like a fox. His outfits are outlandish.
Really ridiculous, yeah.
At the worst, at best, they're unbelievable. And we took the liberty of stitching together this beautiful little Don Cherry montage.
Did you guys get your caller for Don Cherry yet?
No, what's your name, sir?
Barry.
Barry?
Yeah.
Okay, Barry, what do you got for
Harry.
Oh, Harry. Oh, I can't.
Harry.
Yeah, I got you now. Anytime you're ready, Harry.
No, Carrie.
Oh, good God.
That's not. What is this stuff on here? We're Hockey Night in Canada and we're talking about saving the world and all that stuff. Let's talk hockey. And let's never get into that again. I've lost the whole thing. No. That left winger, the sky has fallen, Suzuki. He'd be happy he's with him. That was sickening last week, by the way.
What? What is going on with you?
Fair shake in life. Go out and get your own fair shake in life and work for it. Don't give me that stuff. It's well, we might as well just sit here and then. How much time we got left?
We got a couple minutes for sure.
A couple of minutes. And they get thrown, get her to the job. But listen, you kid, don't get caught in the Canadian syndrome. No, you want to show them? Show them then. All right, go ahead.
Instead of the benches on the same side. But you were right. That was part of the problem.
Yeah, sure, I guess so.
Sid would be pleased to make coaches corner.
Oh, I guess he would, sure.
It's good.
Keep them all happy. Everybody happy. Oh, Don.
Happy birthday, Donald S.
And he's now in Russia, in Sochi, with his cohort, Ron McLean.
I've interviewed Ron McLean before, nicest guy in the world, and a really great storyteller. He's pretty awesome,
yeah.
Got lots to say.
Could you imagine working side by side with Dom, what's his face? Grapes?
Grapes, yeah. It'd be, well.
I'll tell ya.
As we heard in the clip.
Yeah, so
can't
good.
Be easy.
Love it.
And now the It's a Show quote of the week. We got to get a producer. Never argue with an idiot. They'll drag you down to their level and beat you with experience. That was the legendary Bill Murray. Love Bill Murray.
Keep calm and carry on.
He's the Chive Man. Did you see Bill Murray on Letterman?
Which one? Where he cut off the stage? Cut out the stage?
No, the one where he was flying in like Peter Pan.
Jeez, that guy is ridiculous.
Took about like 6 minutes airtime, and he's in a Peter Pan costume. And all he said was, I'm flying. And he rhymed all his flying stuff.
Every time I've seen him on
we
that
should
show.
Share that on the Facebook. Right?
Yeah, he's outrageous on that show every time, which is great because switch it up. Be a little different. Be fun and memorable.
Yeah, exactly. It's just different. Just something wacky to pass the time.
Speaking of Letterman, before you move on with your papers there, Neil Patrick Harris from How I Met Your Mother was on the show months ago.
Right.
And he's like, my next guest, Neil Patrick Harris. Applause. But he's on the balcony. He's on the upper level, walking through the crowd, waving. And I'm like, well, that's a weird place. How's he going to get down?
Yeah.
Jumps over the edge.
What?
Didn't expect that.
That guy's such an athlete, eh?
It was fun. Well, he jumped into a giant beanbag, but.
Oh.
Still.
How fun would that be?
Still a fun entrance. Memorable.
Every house, like, we have, we moved.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Painfully. Thanks for asking.
You survived.
And, yeah. And
somebody didn't show up to move boxes, I noticed.
Not mentioning any names, Sparky. Anyway, the new house has a balcony, and we looked at the house in the dark, and we thought, oh, this is going to be a great place. Barbecue, right? It's like a bi-level. So you come in, go up the stairs, downstairs. And then so this deck, I call it the skybox because there's no stairs. You got a deck suspended in the sky, but you can't get off the thing. That's crazy.
So the thing is we have dogs. And we need to get them outside somehow so that they can do their
dog stuff. Oh, here comes the brilliant idea.
So one of us, you know, has a room. One of us, one of the two here, has a room in which the only door to the outside backyard is. And that one of us is me.
That's a sweet room.
Sweet room. It's got French doors, giant room.
What?
It used to be the home theater for the previous family. Now he's got it. And it's got the walkout door to the back patio, right? And
nice.
Super sweet.
Amazing, right? Except for the fact that the dogs come in all hours of the day and night, and they have to let them in and
let them out.
So you're the dog guy.
Or whatever. Yeah, so I came up with a solution that no one else here seems to like.
You better get on mic for this, because this is amazing, as we all know.
So the deck has no stairs, and we have nowhere to let the dogs out. We covered that.
Tell them about the deck.
Poop deck. Just let the dogs out onto the deck. They'll do their business there. Bring them back in. Everything's good.
Except for
the shit and piss all over my deck.
No. See, what you do is you lay down like a lair, and then you roll some grass out on top of the lair, and then the dogs just go on the grass, right? And then you pick up the poop and the, you know, dogs go on the grass.
As the unofficial seventh member of this family, I have to put my vote against no.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a young Thomas Edison here. The only good thing about that whole idea is the name. I love the name.
Poop deck.
Everything else.
Poop deck.
I didn't actually come up with poop deck.
That was your sister.
Originally, it was
she's the writer.
The thing, this deck is the future It's a Show deck party podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Without the poop. That's all I'm saying. With no poop. So
no poop.
I look forward to that. How'd you score that suite? That room sounds amazing with the French doors. Come on.
There was a lot of discussion when the room choices came up. It wasn't easy.
That would be the fun part about moving. It was always a fun part for me moving to a new house because I'm the oldest.
Right.
Pretty much get first dibs.
Right.
And yeah.
On the farm, I had to share with my two brothers mm-hmm. for the longest time. And then I think I was, 12 or 13. And I hounded and hounded and hounded Dad and Mom. Mom moved her laundry machines downstairs so I could have the laundry room, which was right off the door when you walked in. And so for my whole life growing up there, I had the laundry dryer vent sticking out of the wall and, the electrical and all that stuff. But I didn't care. It was my room.
Yeah.
I had a captain's bed with three drawers.
I don't even know what that means.
In the 70s, captain's beds were the coolest. So it was like this high.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was the captain.
Okay. Is that what that means? High bed.
Keep us together.
Hoy, hoy.
And then there was three drawers, shelves on each end, and then big three drawers in there so you could store all your crap, right? I remember this one time I came home and I had two extra OVs from the shenanigans. And I think I might have been grade 9. And then my mom was OCD cleaner, right? She had to be clean, perfectly clean. So Saturday morning, she goes, Greggy, it's time to clean your room.
Oh, no.
It's time to clean your room. And I'm going, oh, not that.
She was there watching you?
Because she's comprehensive with the cleaning, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no stone left unturned. So I know those drawers are getting opened. So it's just a matter of time, right? So the heart starts racing and you start, no, I got this, Mom. I'll do it. It's fine. I got this. And then she pulls the drawer open.
Oh,
and
busted.
Beers are right there. And I'm going, of all the days, what are the chances that, and yeah.
Mother's intuition.
Didn't go well. Let's talk about the Olympics.
Canada!
We're going to revisit this. We talked about it earlier in the podcast, but $50 billion plus. Sochi will be the most expensive Winter Olympics by a long shot.
And they're not even ready, from what I can tell.
It's a travesty. And who is going to pay this tab? It's not rich Russians. It's going to be the poor potato-eating Russians.
As Madonna says, music makes the bourgeoisie and the rebels. That's a Russian word, I think.
Bourgeoisie.
I think bourgeoisie is the working class. If my grade seven.
I thought bourgeoisie was the Italian royalty.
What grade do you learn in Russia?
Look it up.
Get the.
All my resources are in use.
Look it up.
Anyways.
You didn't smash my iPhone with the computer, did you?
Photos from the journalists and the Twitter account that is hilarious. If you haven't followed the hilarious Twitter account.
Yeah, you got any examples you can share with us?
I'm firing up the old 4S now to see what it is.
And, okay, so Canada sending a record 221 athletes to Russia. It's most ever for a Winter Games. Canada's team of 202 athletes finished third overall 4 years ago in Vancouver.
Beautiful.
26 medals, won a record 14 gold, don't you know, including the hockey game. Canada has set a lofty goal of winning the overall medal standings this year. So they're in it to win it. The Canadian Olympic Committee has named the 221 athletes who will comprise the Sochi contingent. Nearly 25% of Canada's Olympic team is from Alberta. 56 athletes represent.
Hola, Dala.
Which trails only Ontario, 64 athletes from that province. And you got 121 men, 100 women. What else you got here? Canada is expected to field an entry in 93 of the 98 events. Here's a provincial breakdown of athletes. Okay, so 29% from Ontario, 25% from Alberta. Quebec, 19%. BC, 12%. Saskatchewan, 6%. Represent the home province. Manitoba, 5%. And Northwest Territories, 2 athletes are going from there. That's 1%. Nova Scotia, 1% with 2 athletes. Newfoundland, 1 athlete coming from Newfoundland.
Little island.
What the hell he's competing.
Little island that could.
PEI, 1 athlete. And the Yukon, 1 athlete. What about none of it?
I wonder if none of it is with the Northwest Territories.
Maybe.
Don't they usually group those two together, even though they're separate?
So.
The hilarious Twitter account that I just recently started to follow is called Sochi Problems. So it's at Sochi Problems. And the bio, priceless. I'm a mess and not prepared for you. Our athletes live like kings. So they're tweeting like the different photos of things that aren't quite right. Like, for example, this one is, come sit in my chairs. They're quite comfortable and they're like the tiniest things ever.
So. Have you seen some of the bathrooms where they got the two toilets and there's no wall between? You got to sit yeah. and you got to have meet people. That's the way to meet people.
So what's new?
I couldn't imagine. If you could take away the smell factor, maybe. You might have a shot at pulling that off. But with the smell factor involved and the noises, you can't. How are you going to do it?
So it's either going to be a huge success
like
a
kids camp.
Semi-fail. I don't know. I think it'll be okay. I mean, behind the scenes, yeah, maybe things are a little rough, but...
They're a lot rough, man. Keep reading. Like, all over the media, like, CNN is trying to set up... They would book a bank of say 30 rooms, and they fly all the way over to Russia, which is a little bit of a long flight.
A little bit. It's not like next
door.
They're
jet lagged to get there, and they have four hotel rooms ready for them. And then the rest of the guys don't, there's no plan. Where are you going to sleep? And sometimes the, where you check in, it's the manager's room. You got to go find the manager's hotel room somewhere because there's no lobby done. Jeez. It's not even done in the lobby.
I say bring him back to Vancouver because that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. You went, right?
No.
Oh.
I wish.
Yeah.
But I'm all like, I knew the Olympics were happening, but it really came down to this week. I'm just all fired up. I'm ready. CBC and TELUS have a great coverage package that, because I'm a TELUS customer, that's our TV provider. They've got...
Wouldn't know about that.
There's some good apps out there too.
Yeah. They're saying you can get on your phone, your iPad, your TV, the internet coverage 24/7, and it's going to be great. And CBC is the new network this year. 4 years ago, we had CTV, so...
We'll see what they can do.
A little
and
different.
CTV was all the TSN guys who are rock stars.
Yeah. TSN is on board this year because I guess, well, CBC really doesn't have the network that
did
CTV
did you hear
has.
Rogers, because Rogers has taken over hockey coverage in Canada, there's going to be 6 to 8 games on Saturday instead of 2 or 4.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Rogers is spending money like it's nobody's business.
Here's the idea for the Olympics. I thought that you, me, and Scoob each pick an athlete, and the athlete that comes away with the most medals, or at least a medal, is going to be the winning team, right?
Okay.
So I want Melissa Hollingsworth, because she's a friend of mine, and she's a skeleton racer athlete.
And she's hot.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't notice that. But
I think I followed this guy on Twitter, Chris Spring. Chris Spring, if I'm not mistaken, who is under the bobsleigh category, he's from Calgary. He was Australian-born, but now represents Canada and lives in Canada.
So it'll be like that movie Cool Runnings.
Yeah, a little bit.
Nothing like that movie Cool Runnings.
I'm going to pick that Chris Spring from Calgary.
Okay.
Bobsleigh.
Scooby, you're up next. How about Jenny Crochetti?
That's a fun cool name. What about
Shannon Zabados from Edmonton? She's on the Team Canada women's hockey team.
I missed the curling category. Usually we do pretty well in curling.
Yeah,
We've got Brad Jacobs' team and Jennifer Jones for Team Canada.
How about Daniel Witherspoon Gregg, speed skating long track? She's...
Sounds good.
All right, so Scooby's taking Daniel Witherspoon Gregg. Have you heard any speculation on who's playing the opening ceremonies?
Not a clue.
Okay.
Who does Russia have that they want to showcase? Because remember 4 years ago when it was in Vancouver, it was Canadian everywhere. You got Brian Adams. You had Nelly Furtado.
You know what they have is those crazy Ukrainian dancers? They'll probably be some of those.
That'll kill 10 minutes, sure. This thing's 3 hours.
Yeah, that could be too long.
Maybe Putin? Putin has a talent?
Putin.
4 years ago, I was disappointed by Headley. I'm still disappointed by Headley.
Where was Headley? Like Headley? I forget. Where were they? Closing ceremony? Opening ceremony?
Remember when the one arm didn't go up and we all
awkward.
Watched in great anticipation to see if it was going to go up? What's happening?
The jokes flew.
How about Katie Lang in the white?
Oh, yeah. With the
Hallelujah.
That was good. It was
Leonard
moving.
Cohen's Hallelujah. Yeah, that was great. Good. All kinds of people. It was amazing.
It was really good.
I don't know how Russia could, like, who? Name one Russian singer. Like, who? There's no one.
I bet you the opera is big out there.
You think they'll welcome Elton John into town?
Oh, that's awkward. So now that we've made our pick, we need to make a bet.
Yeah. So if my athlete, Melissa Hollingsworth, comes away with a higher medal count, higher medal round, so if she gets gold,
right,
and your athlete only gets bronze or silver,
gotcha,
Scoob's the same, then I am supreme champion, and I get to name your punishment.
Right.
Right? So it could be something like licking Dorito dust off a stranger's fingers, or cleaning a nasty toilet.
Your nasty toilet?
Yeah, a public one.
Oh, a nasty toilet.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. Something like that. Anyway, I'll consider. We'll all mull. We'll come up with the punishments because you got to come up with one for me which I probably won't do. But in the spirit of the broadcast, I'll say I will. All right. So, and also we said if we reach 100 likes on Facebook,
that's right,
we need a celebration. So what are we going to do this time? People like it when we set the bar high and then we reach our goals and then they get on board. We're underdogs in this game.
What can we do when we reach 100 likes on Facebook? This will encourage you to share with your friends and therefore achieve this goal, and we will do something in return.
We will sing The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music.
We should, karaoke style.
Or what song would be good? What song would be good? We will sing Benny and the Jets. Not all of it because it's 8 minutes long.
Benny, dun, Benny, dun, dun, Benny and the Jets.
Dun, 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 dun,
I thought this was a reward. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I can actually sing pretty good. I'm a karaoke champ.
Can we get back to the rum? Maybe we should just go back to the rum. That should be the ritual. When we meet.
All right.
We're going to pound the rum.
100 likes. Shots for everyone.
Shots all the way around the horn. We'll skip Scooby and he can have a shot of Kool-Aid.
It's about that time to get to our special guest, I think, don't you think?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is part two of What the Hell Is This Song About? Our brand new podcast that we're rolling out. Scooby doesn't like the title.
Too long.
Hey, I did not think of the title, so whatever what? You if think if you got, if
now's
me.
The time.
I
Chris Sutherland thinks it's good, and he's a music industry guy. So what?
Can he can
solve
Scoob?
The song mystery? Like, I don't want something lame. Like, what the hell is this song about? Is what is it about? That's what we're talking about. Is there? What's your brilliant idea? You got nothing, do you? Smirk at me.
Rut row indeed.
All right. For the time being, What the Hell Is This Song About is our awesome new podcast where we break down songs that make no sense. Last week it was Come Together in our inaugural part one of the episode. Here comes part two with Kim Mitchell's drummer Chris Sutherland and his choice.
My choice is Surrender by Cheap Trick.
Oh, man. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's a beaut.
I thought I knew this song. Yeah, I thought I knew this song. I was singing in my head. I was like, is this the song I think it is? And then I actually just read the second paragraph. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Well, this I'll tell you, Chris, when I was a kid in high school, the Live at Budokan 8-track was not out of the machine very much. Once in a while, I'd pull it out, put Trooper or Foreigner in, but it was usually jammed in there on a regular basis. It was such a cool 8-track because it was red. This is like blue.
I agree too, because this was like one of my bands when I was, you know, a kid. I just listened to this band nonstop, and none of the tunes, even the most worn out ones, they're still exciting to me every time.
Okay, so Surrender. Here we go. Mother told me, yes, she told me, I'd meet girls like you. She also told me, stay away. You'll never know what you'll catch. Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Well, just the other day, I heard a soldier falling off, some Indonesian junk that's going around. So somebody came down from a high, right?
Well, my guess is that you'll never know what you catch. So I'm thinking that's STD related. Some Indonesian junk that's going around, soldier falling off. Somebody's junk fell off.
Oh, no. Did they call it junk back then? I thought junk was a new millennium word. See, I thought junk back then, junk always meant like the dope, the hashish or the whatever.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I
don't know.
But I'm thinking this is still a reference to the you'll never know what you'll catch.
Okay, so somebody's penis fell off. That's pretty serious in the first stanza.
That's right.
Jesus, shit's getting real right off the hop.
Cheap Trick didn't mess around, man.
No, let's get right to it, man. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Mommy's all right, daddy's all right. They just seem a little weird. That I could very well picture one of my four children singing that song at any time, because that makes sense in our house. Surrender, surrender, but don't give yourself away. So have some fun, honey, but not too much fun. Is that what that is? Or what?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. One that I always kind of liked. Father says your mother's right. She's really up on things. Before we married, mommy served on the wax in the Philippines. And then the second part of that verse is, now I had heard the wax recruited old maids for the war, but mommy isn't one of them. I've known her all these years. Mommy was out in the war helping out, but she wasn't a whack. So what was she?
Oh, no. Poor mommy. Poor daddy. Oh, God. All right.
Mommy was a little crazier than we thought. That's what I always got from that.
I never even paid that close of attention, man. Like, I was just digging it. Mommy's all right. I'm like yelling
exactly.
at me, doing my homework with the A-track cranked, and Mom's yelling at me from the other room. Turn it down.
So Daddy says that your mother's right, and she's really up on things, but she isn't telling you the whole truth.
Before we move through more of this song, this amazing, beautiful little
ballad. It just gets better in the next line.
Bun E. Carlos. Yeah. Bun E. Carlos on drums. Is that one of your idols?
Oh, man. Amazing. And I have a quick story, too.
Okay.
Again, with Tim Mitchell, we played a show with Cheap Trick. We've done a few now, but the first one we ever did, I mean, I was such a fan. I was losing my mind. And all of a sudden, Robin Zander comes walking up to me and just says, "Hey, man, where's Kim? I haven't seen him in years." It turns out Kim's buddies with them from, like, back in Max Webster days.
Wow.
I had no idea. So I was losing my mind. So I got to hang out with them. And Kim says to Rick Nielsen, "Hey, man, how you been? You know, what's up?" And he goes, "Hey, four guys, three chords, pretty good."
Nice.
So then I'm on the stage and all the drums are set up backstage. And Bunny Carlos walks over to me and starts asking me questions about my drum kit.
Oh, man.
And I was losing my mind. And I had this great, like, hour-long conversation with him. But my inner 13-year-old was just, like, crumbling. I couldn't believe what was happening. And then after that, Rick Nielsen comes over and says to me, he goes, "Was he cool to you?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, he's not much of an asshole these days." Because apparently Bunny Carlos is notorious for being an asshole to people. And he's not even in the band right now. He's like, they kind of kicked him out because they can't handle him because he's such a jerk all the time. But he was super nice to me, so I got lucky.
Did he see you play before you guys had your conversation?
No, this was even before we played. So
wow, so he didn't, wasn't a mutual respect thing for your skill set?
No, not at all. I think he thought my drum kit was cool because it had a custom paint job. So maybe that was the in.
God, we could do a whole podcast on custom drum sets.
It was a really good experience, like meeting my heroes, and they were cool, you know?
In the late 1990s, Carlos introduced his own line of coffee. At one point, he offered a special limited edition hand-signed numbered bag of coffee. He continues to market the brand today.
Wow.
I need
some of that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay, so now let's pick up where we left off in the middle of Surrender by Cheap Trick. Where were we?
You know, I never really knew what the first part of that verse was. I just sort of, you know, it's a little bit of like surrender and party and, you know, whatever happened to the partier's past. Maybe I have no idea. That
right.
was pretty vague. It's a good rhyme. Year and disappear. You know, and after just writing an entire record, there's probably about 7 or 8 verses on that record where I could just go, I have no idea what that means. It rhymed. So
sometimes you're short on time. That's all.
That's right. You know, need something to line up. So, that, you know, I don't know. He probably had some meaning for it, but I can't quite grab what it is. But the second part is pretty interesting.
Yeah. So Mom and Dad were rock and rolling on the couch. So they're making out.
I'm saying rolling numbers, rock and rolling, probably a drug reference, maybe.
Yeah. Doing some rolling up some joints and then just headbanging out to some Kiss action.
Got the Kiss records out. So Mom and Dad are, Mommy's all right, Daddy's all right. You're listening to Kiss.
It's a weird song, because you get from Mom and Dad, and then you're going back to, you know, don't give yourself away. But like, it's almost like they're talking to a kid.
Right.
You know, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of all over the place.
It is.
In a good way, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
The good news is, even if we don't figure these things out, we're still playing the song.
That's right. That's right.
That's how it works. Chris Sutherland, please introduce our next selection on What the Hell Is This Song About?
All right, this is my favorite band from when I was a kid, Cheap Trick and Surrender.
Mother,
All right, Chris Sutherland, on behalf of Sparky and our entire incredible fan base.
We're pretty big in Winnipeg.
We're a hot spot. Winnipeg, in your home country, they got an ear for talent in Winnipeg. So we're
excellent.
Yeah, we're huge there. It's probably all your family and Chris from Doc Walker's family or something.
For sure. Well, we'll link it up and we'll triple that number at least.
Oh my God, that's
what I'm talking about.
There we go. This is how it gets done, kids. We probably should have mentioned this off the hop, but it's your job now. It's kind of like a game of tag. You have to tag in the next special guest / musicologist, somebody in your deep sordid past that you think would pick up the phone from a couple of Yahoos and help us with the next episode. Somebody in your circle, who would you think?
You know who would be great at this? Would be Murray Pulver. Do you know Murray Pulver?
Classic.
Frickin' A. He's the best.
Yeah, he was a guitar player in Doc Walker, and now he plays for everyone. And Uber producer Murray Pulver. Nobody knows more about music than that guy.
Okay, so we're going to Murray Pulver. Chris is going to feel left out, but that's the chance I'm going to have to take. And you know who else is they made an ABBA song out of his name, Wazaloo.
Oh, yeah.
Wazaloo. You know, seriously, he is like music falls out of this guy's pores. He's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Can you tell me this, Chris, because you're a bit of a Doc Walker insider, and I'm friends with the band and everything, and I did ask him this, but he was drinking heavily at the time. I asked, because he came out with his own solo project, and he called himself Gomi.
Right.
Why the hell, you know?
He'd be a great guest, too. That's a guy you should definitely have on. Gomi was, I think, just his nickname from, like, when he was a little kid. I don't even know how he got it, but that's all anybody ever calls him.
But, you know, if you got a sexy name like Dave Wazaloo, why are you going the Gomi route? It makes no, like, because if I'm looking for a record, I'm not looking in the Gomi section.
I'm going to come up with a good handle for a nickname for a band. It wouldn't be Gomi.
No, that's what I said. I said, were you hammered when you did this or what? And he just like kind of looked at me with one eye closed, and he was hammered at the time. We were playing 80s song trivia. That's a story for a different time. The one thing before you leave, made a note to ask you this. You played with Lawrence Gowan, a.k.a. Uncle Larry Gowan. He has a song called You're a Strange Animal.
Yes.
That song is in part responsible for the creation of this What the Hell Is This Song About podcast, because in one of the lines, he does something like, one, the speed is, you're a strange, like it's some other language or something. Do you know what the hell he's saying in there?
Oh, God, no.
God.
No. And funny enough, I actually have never played any of those tunes. My whole thing with Larry is that I played on his new record. So I've just been in the studio with him on and off for the last 2 years. Working on a new thing that's not yet out, so it's kind of still a little top secret.
You don't have Larry's number, do you?
Yeah, I could probably connect you. He would be hilarious on this show.
Would he be great?
He would be.
Because I love that guy. I mean, let's be honest. That's CanCon that rocks. It's been around forever. Everybody knows the songs.
Except for
Sparky.
And definitely some of the greatest road stories I've ever heard in my life are from Larry. So
now I'm feeling like we got to leapfrog all the Doc Walker members and get to Larry Gowan. Like, this is good. And, you know, I see a running gag in the future where we keep bumping Doc Walker.
That's funny.
Well, and it'll be that sexual anticipation that builds between two characters in a show where they never quite kiss.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love this. Yeah.
And they'll be, by the end of this sucker, they'll be begging to get on this show. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get calls from management. The guys really want to be on the show.
Sorry, Kitchener. We're not taking calls right now. Get out of here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's sitcom material there. Holy.
Oh, my God. And those guys, when they'll be so pent up by the time, maybe we'll conference call and get all three of them on at once. It'll be crazy.
Yeah, madness.
They can blow their load there. All right. So your responsibility, Chris Sutherland, rock star drummer to all the stars, is to hook us up somehow with Larry Gowan.
Okay. I will attempt to do that. I'll send Larry a text and... He's out with Styx right now, so sometimes he's a pretty busy guy. But
yeah, well, yeah, you know, I'm going out with the Dean Martin impersonator next week, too. We all have
That's right.
our gigs, but seriously, you got four.
I know, eh?
He's a big American rock star now.
There's a time limit on this too, because we got to get the next episode up. Chris, thanks a lot for hanging out with us.
Thanks, guys. This is a riot.
That's it for episode 13 of It's a Show. That was awesome. Thanks to our special guest, Chris Sutherland, Kim Mitchell's drummer. And we're waiting. We're patiently watching our inbox because Chris promised us some contact information for Kim Mitchell and Larry Gowan. You're a strange animal, guy.
Wanda Speedus.
Wanda Speedus. Got to figure out what the hell that means. Don't forget that we are the underdogs of the podcast world, and we need you.
You can share the links on Facebook. Please share Facebook likes. Twitter, we're on there. Share away. Stitcher, iTunes. Share, share, share.
We're trying to get from 50-ish likes to 100 likes. If we can do it, we're going to drink rum again. And you can join us in the comfort of your own home and drink your own rum. It'll be awesome. It'll be a celebration to be sure.
Better yet, drink rum while you're listening. It'll make things a lot more better.
Oh, you brought the bell back.
A lot more better.
I think between you and me and the tree, we keep the bell, but maybe just
use it less
here and there.
Infrequently.
Okay.
See? Thumbs up from the youth movement. Until then.
Until next week.
Keep in touch.
Finger guns.
People everywhere.
Are we restarted?
Now we're recording.
Oh, this is going to be a good week. Here we go.